Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate, a Film Lover's Deep Dive. I'm Bert, and as always, I'm joined with Brandon.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
And last we spoke, you listened, we said we'd be back with James Bond, but we decided to intercut that with some holiday hoopla films. Right now, we're in the middle of October. We thought, what better way than to kick off three horror movies, followed by a couple holiday films to finish out the year. And Brandon, you actually chose the film we're doing today, which is 1976's Carrie. Yeah. And I hope it's the 1976 version, because that's the one I watched.
Me too.
Sure. Not the remake.
Or the other remake.
Have you guys seen both of the new remakes?
No.
I mean, I saw Carrie 2 forever ago.
Mm.
Which is pretty, it says it's a sequel, but it's literally the same fucking movie. And then I saw the Chloe Grace Moretz one when it came out in theaters. And I mean, it wasn't very good. But, Brandon, why this movie?
Because, you know, I'd never seen it before.
Whoa! Yeah. Really?
For sure. Never. Not once. Not even one little bit of it, to be honest.
For reals? That's wild to me.
I mean, all I knew was, like, that famous cover picture with just her covered in blood.
Yeah. But
that's literally all I knew about the movie.
Had you read the book
at
all? No?
Nope.
Have you read the book, Michael?
I can't read.
Oh, okay. Well, asked and answered.
No, I have not.
It's pretty impressive because you, like, edit this podcast, put it all together, and you can do that sans reading. Like, I get that's pretty impressive.
It's like this is kind of the concept of reading, but I just memorize a bunch of words.
No.
Just use them on recycle.
Yep. So don't go outside of that boundary, and I'll be all right.
Well played.
I had seen this movie, like, once a long time ago, because it was just, you know, it's one of those, like, it's October, find a Halloween movie. It's also directed, like, by Brian De Palma.
Yeah.
Like an artsy director. So I watched it the one time, and I was like, oh, I mean, like, the thing that I know happens is literally, like, the last 15 minutes of this movie. And then you just are kind of watching a girl get dunked on for the first hour.
I gotta say, I really liked this movie.
It was better than I remembered. I think because of the other I'd since seen, the terrible sequel and the terrible remake, that, like, I always just go, well, I mean, like, the prom scene is, like, why you come, you know, everything else is fine. But watching it this time, I'm like, Sissy Spacek is so good
at
this.
So good.
She makes you feel, like,
everything. Scared.
Her emotions, like, when she's obviously getting picked on, when she goes home to get abused by her mother, like, it's all in that performance. And at the risk of spoiling some trivia here, nominated for an Academy Award for this movie. And I was just like,
that makes
sense. I get
it. Yeah.
I totally get it.
Totally. Like, bang on, dude. Like, the emotions, like, I was sad. I was angry. I was, you know, I could relate to certain scenes, you know. I'm sure you know, growing up in your childhood, you could relate to a little bit of that.
What do you mean by that?
You know, growing up in a big faith-based family.
Oh, I thought you meant getting led on by one of the popular boys at school and getting asked to prom and then a bucket of pig's blood get dumped on your head.
No, I mean,
I wasn't allowed to go to prom, so.
The devil's everywhere, man. Like, you gotta be careful, so. In my house, I was the same way. I wasn't allowed to watch certain things. I wasn't allowed to read certain things. And so, like, I've really got into this movie, man. Like, it struck a chord with me, and especially for never seeing this and going in completely blind.
No.
I thought it was fantastic. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I had no idea that you hadn't seen it. Just thought you picked it because it's like, oh, we're doing one horror movie a person. This is the one I want to watch. Here we go. And then I was just like, oh, man, that's pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I can't wait to get into it.
I mean, I feel like obviously this is a Stephen King adaptation. It's his very first book that became a movie. Was it his first book, too?
Yeah, his first published novel, yeah.
Yeah. And it, yeah, he said he was paid $2,500 for the rights to it, which, like, everyone was like, oh, that seems pretty low. And he was like, honestly, I'm just, you know, he talks like this kind of, so it's like, I'm just kind of happy that, you know, it's getting out there. And it, like, the movie blew up, which made his work, like, his other works blow up, too, because people were like, oh, I want to read the book of the guy who wrote Carrie.
Yeah.
So it ended up, the $2,500 was just more of like a, and now he famously will, like, give the rights to, we talked about this when we covered Shawshank Redemption, like any new upcoming filmmaker, he'll lend his rights for a dollar to make it. So like, because he just wants to see, you know, what these new up and comer filmmakers can do with his work. And he's all for that. But with that, he's also very honest about whether he likes something or not.
Yeah.
And not only did he like this movie, they changed the ending of the book. And I meant to look up how the book ends. Honestly, I kind of thought that Brandon, since you had seen this movie, you had read the book, because I know you have read some Stephen King. He preferred the ending of this movie to his own ending.
Really?
Yeah. So, guy who famously hates Stanley Kubrick's version of The Shining for changing the ending of that story. Now he's like, I loved it. Like, the hand coming up was not part of the original ending. So I was curious how it actually did end, but... No. Like I said, we're doing Carrie, 1976 film, which is about Carrie White, a shy, friendless teenage girl who is sheltered by her domineering religious mother, unleashes her telekinetic powers after being humiliated by her classmates at her senior prom. The top three films in 1976. Number three, the 1976 remake of King Kong. Number two, the 1976 remake of A Star Is Born. And number one, Rocky. Hey, Rock.
I thought you were going to say on that trajectory, Rocky 2 or something.
A remake of Rocky.
Yeah.
Creed. It says here, Rocky, which also won Best Picture that year. A ticket cost in 1976, $2.13, which is equivalent to $12.01 our money. The budget for the film, $1.8 million. And which is equivalent to $10.1 million our money. The box office made $33.8 million, which is equivalent to $190.5 million. So I mean, off a essentially $2 million budget, did 15 times that. So pretty good for a, I would guess you would consider this like an indie horror film.
Not bad.
Yeah.
This was also nominated for 2 Academy Awards, but it lost both. It was nominated for Supporting Actress for Piper Laurie, who plays Carrie's mother. And like I said before, Best Actress for Sissy Spacek, who of course plays Carrie. Her mother in this movie is, I mean, like, it's almost like it's all I think about is the Adam Sandler bit. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. And honestly, like, her character is so bananas in this movie.
Oh my God, dude. Especially the part where she's like, dragging her down in the basement. I love that spot where she's like just disappearing into the black. You're like,
yeah,
oh fuck, you crazy.
Or the part at the end when she's just lurking, standing behind the door, dude.
Oh
like,
yeah,
I was like, what is gonna happen here? Because that is super creepy.
I had read like multiple people in this movie honestly thought that this was like a dark comedy just because of how over the top the writing and act, you know, the performances were. De Palma wanted bigger, like Piper Laurie, who like I said played her mother, still to this day, I mean not to this day because she has since passed away a few years ago, like said, no, this is a comedy because people don't act like this because like how crazy she is. And then John Travolta and the gal who plays Chris were both like, you know, we weren't really with everybody. Like, she has some scenes with other people, but for the most part, like, especially the last half of the movie, it's just the two of them together. They were like, the stuff that we were doing, we thought we were the comic relief that they were cutting to us just acting batshit and crazy. And then watching the movie just being like, oh, we are the villains of the piece.
We are evil.
And then John Travolta's just kind of there slugging down PBRs. So hey, is this like, is this right before or is it during Welcome Back, Kotter? Like, he's about to really
blow
pop
up.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely kind of had that Grease vibe too. Like, you know, like, oh, you're just a couple of years away, right?
Yeah, he's got to cut the locks a little bit, and then he's
Because when did the Outsiders come out?
Well, he wasn't in the Outsiders.
I thought he.
That's Tom Cruise.
Nah, I don't care about
the
that.
Other Scientologist
amongst other famous actors.
Some reason I thought
That's Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Matt Dillon.
Maybe it's just the conglomerate of all those folks. I was like, I had
Ralph Macchio,
whatever. Yeah,
Emilio Estevez.
All right, never mind.
The guy who plays Ponyboy, whose name I always forget.
Danielson.
No, that's Ralph Macchio. He's Johnny. Johnny. Oh, it's gonna drive me nuts.
I'm like almost have it up.
He was in E.T. He was one of the friends in E.T.
Ooh.
Ah, it's killing me. He's literally the only person I haven't named from that cast.
C. Thomas Howell, J.R. Ferguson.
C. Thomas Howell. Okay. C. Thomas Howell. Yeah, he plays Ponyboy.
Yeah, Grease came out 2 years after Carrie, so.
Gotcha. And when was Welcome Back, Kotter?
1975 to 79.
Oh, so we're in the middle of it then, yeah, because this is 76.
76.
Probably filming during the first season in 75.
Crazy.
And then the friend who, the terrible friend with the red hat, PJ Souls, also from Halloween. Like, she was one of the gals who gets killed in Halloween. Kind of became like a prerequisite scream queen until ish. And then Jamie Lee Curtis was kind of like, nah, it's my gig. this movie begins, just a normal teenage movie where we're just like, we're setting up that everybody hates Carrie by them playing volleyball. We hear the other girls hit it to Carrie. She'll screw it up. She inadvertently does. Chris comes up and tells her to eat shit. And that's when we transition to just like a slow-mo montage of them all just like bathing in the locker rooms, making you feel all weird about not feeling like weird, but like,
should I be
it
here?
Is weird that we're just like watching like high school girls like shower and giggle and laugh. But what we're doing is we're panning through the entire, you know, the steam-filled locker room, and we push in on Carrie, who's obviously by herself in the shower. And that's when she gets her period for the first time. But because of the way she was raised, she does not know what that is. She just knows that she is bleeding and she is freaking out.
She thinks she's dying.
Yes. And obviously, you know, everybody in the locker room is very friendly and helpful and understands that this is a very important time. Not what happens. They're all jeering at her, has her on the ground. Like, they're all, like, pelting her with tampons, making fun of her. The gym teacher comes in, is like, what the fuck is going on? A gal whose name we find out later is Sue is like laughing, telling the principal Carrie had her period, and she's like, and you're not helping? No, it's hilarious. So she has to like get in Carrie's face. She's freaking out, has to like slap her in the face just to try to like get her down back down to earth, to which an overhead light explodes above her. Everybody, you know, kind of like comes back down, relaxes. Carrie's like panicking in the shower still, and then we cut to her at the principal's office. Great principal, doesn't even know Carrie's name, even though they're saying it over and over again. Obviously, they're in there talking with the gym teacher, and she's just like, she had no idea what was even happening. I don't understand that. And the principal's like, well, you know, her mother, but we can't intervene because, you know, people are allowed to practice, you know, independently religious, like school can't step in, that kind of thing. And even the gym teacher's kind of like, honestly, it's such a weird line to throw in. She was like, honestly, I understood why they were making fun of her. And I was just like, oh, well,
do you?
So you're not any better than anybody else. If anything, you're a fucking phony. She was just like, it's just a period. Why is she freaking out? Again, you've already said that she has no idea what happened. So why aren't you like, she, like, to her face will take pity on her, but behind her back is also just being like, what is up with the crazy girl?
I don't know what she's crying about.
You know. So they bring in Carrie. The principal's like, yeah, bring in Cassie. And she goes, it's Carrie. Okay, come on in. Carrie, what we're going to do is we're going to actually send you home for the rest of the day. Are you okay? And she's like, yeah. You know, she's still kind of, like, tensed up about it. You know, we get that image of the ashtray because everyone's just openly smoking in the principal's office. He's got like the tobacco pipe, and the gym teacher's like slugging on a cigarette. You almost half expect the receptionist to come in with like a marble red hanging out of her lip.
Just this much ash hanging off the edge of it. You're like, that thing's going to drop.
We see that ashtray is starting to spin violently, shake. And he's like, you know, we all feel really bad about this, Cassie. You know, then which Carrie yells, "It's Carrie!" Ashtray jumps up in the air, hits the ground, and explodes on the ground. To which they're just like, you know, why don't you, you know, obviously we're sending you home. Do we need to call you a cab? No, I think Carrie can walk home. That's fine. A high school calling you a cab really stuck out. She's walking home, you know, books clutched in her to her chest, and we get that image of like that kid, like probably like a 10-year-old kid riding a bike. Why isn't this kid in school? You know, he kind of rides past her as he's interweaving through some trees, sees her, decides to flip a Yui, comes back and gets right up in her face and yells, "Creepy Carrie, Creepy Carrie." To which all of a sudden we hear like this violin score, you know, like a classic horror movie trope where like all of a sudden the bike flips out from underneath him and he just kind of like eats shit
on the ground. She threw a stick in his spokes.
Yeah. And then he just kind of looks up like scared of her and like kind of scurries off. We then meet Carrie's mother. A lot of hair on this lady.
Yeah.
Just volume, I guess.
Yes.
Black cloak. Big hair. She's going around the neighborhood door to door, handing out booklets, you know, telling other... It's so odd. Like, she's, like, going to her neighbor who knows who she is, and she's like, oh, yeah, Carrie's in... You're Sue's mother. Yes, you know, Carrie's in some of Sue's classes. They make it seem like this is the first time that she's handing out booklets to this woman, but at the same time... The woman is giving off the impression, like, the mother is giving off impression that Carrie's mother's here, like, you know, preaching to us again, that kind of thing.
I also kind of got a vibe of, like something either, like, at first I was like, either the mom is being told, or the, like, they know, like, something bad has already happened. And then Sue's mom just kind of like pays her off to get her out of there.
So I think what happens is because Carrie's mother is at the house, and then the phone rings. And I read it as it's also the gym teacher calling Sue's mom, being like, "Hey, this happened.
Your daughter was involved in something."
Yes, because when Carrie's mom gets home, she also then gets a call from the gym teacher. So, like, she goes from just being like, "Oh, yes, you know, let me, oh, I, you know," and then she gets the phone ring, and then you hear just being like, "Yeah, no, she's here right now."
Yeah.
I think she says something like, "Oh, I need to get rid of her," something like that. Hangs up, and then completely is just like, "Get out of my house, get out of my house, get out of my house," kind of thing. Of like, I'd love to give you $10 for your cause, you know, kind of thing. And like, her mom just kind of rolls her eyes. Huh, okay. But still takes her money, puts it in her, like, a little box, and then leaves. And, like, before she leaves, she's like, you know, "I hope one day, you know, Jesus saves your soul." And then the mom's like, "All right, have a nice day."
Okie doke. Thank you.
Carrie's mother. To which Sue has entered through the back door, comes in and is like, was Carrie's mom just here? And she's like, "Oh, I didn't even hear you come in. But yeah, that was Carrie's mom. Interesting day at school today," like that kind of thing. And then that's when we cut to... Carrie's mom is walking home. We see their house. They're in like a very nice neighborhood, but their house is clearly like the rundown, terrible house on the block. Where, you know, she goes inside and we see like the camera pans upstairs where Carrie is home upstairs. Her room is like the attic, but it's also like at times I'm like, okay, but there's doors into the bathroom and then she has a door into her bedroom. But it also just looks like they repurposed an attic to make, you know, two rooms out of there. Phone rings at home, like we said, and the mother's on the phone. Carrie's kind of standing at the top of the stairs listening. Her mother hangs up the phone and, you know, says, "I know you're listening. Go ahead and come downstairs." Carrie comes down very timid. You can tell that she's, like, clearly afraid of her mom. You know, kind of asks, "Mama, who was on the phone?" again, Sissy Spacek is so good about, like her voice. I just can't get over that enough. Like, she just has one of those faces where you're just like, man, I can totally buy how sad and, like, lonely and scared you are. And then on top of that, you are now getting these weird telekinesis powers that you have no idea how to use. And, you know, her mom says, I heard you became a woman today, that kind of thing. And then takes this book, smacks Carrie upside the head with it, and then opens it up to a chapter that says, the sins of the woman, to which she tells her that women's periods are a curse because Eve ate the forbidden fruit. So now women are forever cursed with blood every month. And then wants her, and like starts screaming passages at her and wants her to repeat them back, to which Carrie's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Smack. I'm not going to do it. Okay. And then she relents and says the phrase, because at least it'll make it stop. Only for her to then drag her by her hair and throw her into a closet.
The prayer closet.
Yes. And you can tell it's not the first time that she's been in this closet, because she's got like pillows, blankets, candles. There's a Bible there. I meant to look up, who is Saint Sebastian? Brandon, do you know? I am not Catholic. Because I thought that was a Jesus stigmata that she has in there, where it's, you know, the statue is like got the arms out, but then there's a bunch of arrows into it. And so I meant to look that up.
He was initially tied to a post or tree and shot with arrows, though this did not kill him. He's the patron saint of archers, athletes, police officers, and soldiers.
Oh, interesting.
He's invoked for protection against plagues and enemies of religion.
God. Oh, well, okay. Well, that part makes sense. Yeah. She's in there with that. At first, I thought, I was just like, man, it is wild that her mother would just allow her to have like a Jesus statue with a bunch of arrows in it. I was like, that seems like the opposite of what would be allowed in that house.
And that Jesus statue is severely creepy.
Well, that's where then, you know, see, I got the glowing yellow eyes. So I was just like, man, that's wild that would be in her prayer closet, like a very, like,
demonic.
But it makes sense that, yes.
You know what I just stumbled upon?
What?
Sissy Spacek is related to Rip Torn.
No. How?
I don't know. This is their cousins.
Crazy.
Yeah. Anyway.
She was married to, I don't know if she still is, but at the time of this filming, by the way, Sissy Spacek is 25 in this movie.
Mm.
The gym teacher, 27.
What?
Perfect.
Yeah. Betty Buckley is 2 years older. Sissy looks like
she's like 16 years old.
Yeah. Like, Carrie in the book I read is 17, which makes sense. It's your senior prom.
Yeah.
But I forgot what I was going with that. But
married to.
Oh, she was married to John Fisk, who was the prop designer. Like, yeah, still is. Yeah. Worked in like props and stuff. And he was the actual one who like doused her with blood and buried her at the end. You know, like, so keep it in the family.
Nice.
Eventually her mother allows her to get out of the closet after, you know, she had a long, hard time praying in there. She, you know, calmed down a bit. She opens the door, says, I'm feeling better, mother. And she goes, okay, now go to bed. No dinner, apparently. Just go straight up to bed. She goes upstairs and like looks at herself in the mirror, and we get like that great image of like the mirror is like bubbling out at her, flexing, 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 until it finally it shatters. Her mother comes running upstairs. What was that sound? No sound at all. We see the mirror now is just, it's like back in its casing, but like still very cracked. So she obviously like mentally stuck it back in there. The next day, they're in English class, and their English teacher is reading a poem, but he's doing it very sarcastically, like very flowery, bubbly. And like we see, and we find out that he is reading the poem of one of the students named Tommy, who is the greatest American hero, if that's a show you're at all familiar with. That show's probably more familiar for its theme song than it is for actually being a show. He's reading this poem, and he goes, this is so, so more impressive than running a touchdown or hitting a home run, you know, that kind of thing. And he goes, is there any criticisms? I think the teacher is like when this teacher's a dick. I think he just wants people to, like, dunk on Tommy's poem.
Yeah.
To which Carrie, quietly sitting in the back, just speaks up and says, "It's beautiful." And everyone starts laughing. The teacher goes, "Beautiful! Beautiful for amber waves of grain!" "Is that what you mean, Carrie?" He's not Irish or Scottish. He's just like... I know this guy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yep.
He's the guy with the cigarettes who... Yeah.
Yep.
That's the only thing I've seen him in. Or the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, where do I know this guy from? You know, we see Tommy. Like, we get a lot of those shots of, like, both something that's way behind is in focus while something very close to the camera is also in focus. And, like, the middle ground is very blurry. It's, like, right on Tommy's face. And he goes, "You suck," talking to the teacher. And the teacher's like, "What was that now?" And he goes, "I said, aw, shucks."
Yeah.
So mind you, like, this was my very first time I watched it. I thought Tommy was whispering, you know, "You suck," to Carrie, about Carrie being like, "God, you suck." Like, he's just trying to make fun of me, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you took it way too seriously. Yeah. But.
Yeah, we find out later that, like, it really did. Yeah. Yeah.
But I like how they did that, because they left it so, like, open for
the longest
time. Sure, because
it could go any other way.
Like, yeah, you don't know whether this guy is being a jerk.
The only thing we know about Carrie is that everybody fucking hates her.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he would just be like, "What the fuck is up with this chick?" Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I thought they did a great job with that.
Back in gym, we see a janitor's cleaning the wall where somebody wrote, more than likely it was Chris, "Carrie White eats shit," in red paint all over the wall. While the gym teacher is taking roll, she tells him that what they did to Carrie was fucked up, and that if it were up to her, she would suspend them for 3 days and revoke their prom tickets.
Yeah.
Which all these girls are like, "No, oh, okay, we really did fuck up." She goes, "Unfortunately, the school overruled me. So instead, you will get to go to prom, but you have 5 days, so 1 school week of detention with me every day, 50 minutes each day." And then she does her best Denzel Washington impersonation and says, "We are going to do up downs until Blue is no longer thirsty." to which, you know, Chris is like, "I ain't fucking doing it." And she goes, "Well, Chris, that is something you don't have to do. But if you don't, you are not allowed to go to prom. Like, that's how it is. You do 50 minutes a day with me or you don't go to prom." And she goes, "I'm not fucking going." And all the girls are like, "Oh, I'm going to prom." So
yeah,
I'm doing it.
You do you, Chris. Chris looks a lot like Sidney Sweeney in this movie.
Bingo!
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I had to check to see if they were even related, because I was like, there's no plausible way that they're not. Like, right. The facial features were incredible.
It is insanely uncanny how, like, they just look insanely identical.
Yeah.
You just get, like, insane 70s big hair on Sidney Sweeney, and you're like, oh, yeah.
And then you can't...
That's her mom, right?
You can't unsee it, either. You're just had to look it up.
We go outside and we get that montage of just, like, now they're doing up downs, jumping jacks, push ups, all this stuff, up and down and up and down and up, and, like, where that goofy music's playing now, run in place, run in place, run in place, run in place.
I thought that was the most comedic part about the whole thing, was with the music and them doing the up downs. Dude, and
the music in this movie is bananas.
It is, yeah.
Like, B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas. Like, the weird, like, 70s, like, burr, 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 like, when they're doing, like, the Tux trying on montage.
Yeah.
while we're intercutting with, like, Carrie trying on lipsticks, it's just like...
It's like putting a soft, like, layer of emotions on, like, kind of what's actually going on underneath, you know? Like, it's like,
I do think at the end, when the music keeps, like, at that breakneck of, like, beautiful, dreamlike state that carries in, show the bucket of blood.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I think that's great, because obviously we're getting the duality of the emotions that are about to happen. But, like, everything before that is just like, man, the 70s, man, they were just doing blow and fucking, I don't know, put this in.
Yes. Apparently someone liked the term eat shit, so let's put that everywhere. Which is a good
Chris
term.
Says it so many times in this. That's like the that's her first line in the movie is eat shit after she misses the volleyball. Chris decides, you know, she's obviously the mean girl of the school. She decides, I'm not doing this anymore. And if we all stop doing it, she can't kick all of us out of the prom if we all stop. So they all kind of stop. The teacher turns around and Chris goes, hey, listen, we're not doing this anymore. And she goes, I got your ass for 10 more minutes. So start running in place. And you see like a few girls being like, yeah, we're running. Chris says, you can't do this to us. To which the gym teacher, corporal punishment, smacks her upside the head. Like, yeah. Open hand, slaps the shit out of her. Says, again, you don't have to. Either get back in place and run, or you're not going to prom. To which, you know, she turns to all the girls, and the girls are like, I want to go to prom, Chris. I don't know what to tell you. Like, even her PJ Souls, her red-hatted friend, is just like, I don't know what to tell you, dude.
There was quite a few open hand slaps to the face in this movie. Yeah. That was
Carrie got one in the shower, and then
John Travolta delivered one, and I was like, whoa.
That relationship, yeah, we're about to get there, but like that relationship is bonkers,
toxic.
Yes. You'd be slapping people in the 70s, shit.
Yeah. And Carrie's mom hits her upside the head with a book like a few times.
The gym teacher hits it, slaps her in the face. Yeah, I mean, that's wild times.
When did corporal punishment become not okay anymore?
Was it a dead set date or was it just like a blend into nothing?
I mean, I'm sure it varied by school. I'm sure there wasn't like what I'm saying. Like, the guy didn't come out with a scroll and say, the town
on
crier.
This day forward,
it was an executive
you
order.
You may not spank a child with a wooden paddle with five holes drilled into it for maximum accuracy.
Yeah.
From henceforth.
And it labeled all the devices that are actually legal too, you know?
We still do allow nuns to smack knuckles with rulers. That is still okay because separation of church and state. Yeah. That is
expression of religion.
Still approved. A switch no longer than 6 inches.
Yes, it's the rule of thumb. That's where it comes from. Uh-huh. The stick can't be bigger than your thumb, the operator's thumb.
Oh,
yeah. Shit. Didn't know you were gonna learn something today, did you, Michael?
I can always count on learning something. Yeah.
Isn't that in the Boondock Saints, like the opening scene?
It technically is. Yes, yeah. But I knew the rule of thumb before I Boondock Saints. I think that's in the Bible somewhere, to be honest. Chris is no longer allowed to go to the prom. All the other girls are like, yeah, we're just gonna take our licks and we'll get to go. Meanwhile, we cut to Carrie in the library finding a book called The Secret Science of Miracles, where she's reading up on this wacky thing called telekinesis.
Apparently other people have it too.
She wrote books on it.
It's true, Mama. It's true.
It's true.
The ability to control things with one's mind.
Classic cinematic reading of my finger.
I know. I just love that that's in a book. Like, I don't know what, obviously it's in a book, but just like, she's like, oh, I found a book on telekinesis. At school.
After school, Sue goes to her boyfriend Tommy, who, as we've said, is the guy who wrote the poem, and asks him to take Carrie to the prom instead of her. So we're getting like the duality of these two different kind of relationships where he's kind of like, what? Carrie White? Like, you know, we get them like watching TV. So they're like watching, what, Maverick or something like on TV?
Some like Western or something.
Yeah, with James Garner. And that's why I think I'm out to Maverick. where then he finally breaks the silence and says, all right, I'll do it. And then we cut to like Chris and her boyfriend, played by a very young John Travolta, just like cruising down the road in his car. She's putting makeup on. He's, like, talking to his buddies. They're, like, throwing beers into his car. He's cracking them open. We get the police that they just, like, they shine flashlights. They don't pull people over in the 70s. They just shine flashlights through everyone's window to see if you're drinking and driving.
Are you following the rules? Yes? Okay. Flashlight indicates that.
As he's just got the major, like...
the foam and shit
foam
on his face.
On his beard or on his chin, I mean. Yeah.
She consistently calls him a dumb shit. She's punching the driver while he's driving. I like how he's just like, you know what? Fuck this. And like he just flips the car around and is like, oh, are they just going home? No, they're going to a party. They're in the car. And then he's like, all right, let's go. And she's like, hey, take it easy. I want to make out with you, but then push you away and slap you in the face. And then kiss you again, push you back, and slaps him again, calls him a dumb shit. And he's like, what the fuck do you want from me? And like, and then he slaps her in the face. It's just, it's like I wrote down, like, their relationship is insane.
Weird thing going on.
She says, I need you to do a favor, like, while she's, like, going down on him. So he's just like, yes, whatever you say, ma'am, whatever you say. She says, I hate Carrie White. And he goes, who? I like that line reading. It's like, I don't even know who that is. And then we cut to back in the library. Tommy's going up to Carrie and asks her to prom, to which she immediately just like Looney Tunes, like takes off running, leaves a trail of smoke behind her. The gym teacher finds that she's like hiding in the corner and asks her what's going on. And she says, oh, you know, Tommy asked me to the prom. And she's like, well, that's great, right? He's good looking. He's cute. And she goes, he's dating fucking Sue.
You idiot. You know,
the gal who was just... Also, you know, the gym teacher knows who Tommy is because, like, when she's asking, who's taking you to the prom? And she's like, Tommy. And she's like, oh, you know. And she's like, I think it's a trick. Like, Carrie's not an idiot. And the teacher pretty much tells her, it's so weird. She's like, just stop moping around. He's cute. You need to go out and learn, like, live a little bit. You know, do your hair up all nice, try some lipstick and maybe some makeup, like, and you'll be all right, kid. Get on out there.
Become superficial. Sell your soul.
Nice pep talk, teach.
Well, that was the weirdest part. I wasn't sure which way it was going to go. It wasn't going to be like, hey, this is a setup, or just like, it was it kind of caught off guard, and it was like encouraging. It was like,
yeah, she okay. One tells her to lean into it and go to, but then cuts to like her in the library with Sue and Tommy being like, hey, Carrie's not an idiot. If you guys are fucking with her, she is aware.
She's on to you.
And she's reading about telekinesis, so.
Yeah. Beaker. Sue is like, I promise this isn't a trick. And then Tommy's like, she already said no anyway, so it's not like, and she goes, well, you'll ask again, and she'll say yes. And you can tell that clearly Tommy is like very hesitant, doesn't want to do it, which isn't really helping the cause of it's not a trick. You know, so we see Tommy back at Carrie's house. He goes, knocks on the door. She opens it. Luckily, Mama's sleeping. You know, she's like, hey, I never got an answer about you going to the prom. She's like, I'm not going to go to the prom with you. And he goes, all right, well, I'm just going to stand in your doorway until you say yes. As, you know, we hear her mom starting to wake up. Carrie!
She's like, get the fuck out of here.
She's like... I'll be happy to talk to your mom if you'd like me to. And she says, okay, yes, I'll go to the prom with you. And, like, slams the door in his face. We cut to John Travolta and his stupid friends at, like, a pig meat packing plant where they're all, like, big talking about how they're going to kill this pig. Oh, yeah, man, I'm going to fucking kill this pig, brother. Kill it! And they find the perfect pig. They hand a sledgehammer to the guy who's like, I'm going to kill it. And he goes... Actually, no, I don't think I can. John Travolta's like, yeah, you're such a fucking baby.
You can't slaughter a pig in front of all of us?
Yeah.
With a sledgehammer.
Yeah, he gets in the pen, he's like looking, oh, there she is, there's the perfect one. Bludgeons a pig to death, to which we see that they have taken its blood and are filling it up in a bucket. That bucket has been sitting overhead for a few days.
It seems like a week, yeah.
Yucky. Yeah. No, I'm sure there was absolutely no stink or smell.
Yeah.
I'm sure it didn't coagulate at all. Like, the blood is still nice and runny.
Welcome to prom, everybody. It smells like someone's ass.
Pig shit in here.
Pig shit.
We're filling it up in a bucket, and we're sticking it up in the scaffolding. Chris is giving him a hard time about doing it. He's like, hey, babe, if you leave me alone, I'll let you pull the rope. How about that? Back at home, this part is so insane. Like, she's like, hey, Mom, I have something to tell you. I got invited to the prom. And her mom immediately, without missing a beat, throws her drink in her face. Like, anyway, like I was saying, I'm going to, I was asked to the prom.
Must have been a spasm. Sorry. Anyways.
I mean, if something happens so often, like... I just kind of assume she's just like every 3 days she gets something thrown in her face. Anyway, I was asked to the prom. He's a nice boy, and I'm going. To which her mom argues that she's not going. Like, hands down, you're not going. She goes up and says, that's final. And then Carrie uses her telekinesis to close all the windows in the house, to which her mom turns around and calls her a witch. Mm-hmm. And that she has the devil in her as well. Carrie kind of like ominously tells her mom things are going to change around here, which is good. By the way, I'm going. There's nothing you can do about it. Because I can fuck you up with my mind, with my mind bullets.
I've been reading. I could shut the window on your fingers.
Did we get that? Yeah. Honestly, it's like half psycho music sometimes. Yeah.
Well, I also think there's a lot of nods to.
Sure, I mean they go to Bates High School, which is obviously Bates Motel.
Yeah.
How much of that is in the book? I don't know. Obviously, there's no score when you're reading a book, but was the high school called Bates? I'm sure it probably was, but Carrie begins making her dress as her mother is like rocking back and forth, like they're in the same image, but they're clearly in two different rooms where Carrie's making a dress and her mother's like praying, but like rocking back and forth with like her hands on her chest, trying to pray the devil out of her. Word has spread, we're decorating for the prom, and word has spread that Tommy is taking Carrie to prom. Sue, how do you feel about that? And she's pretty much just like, honestly, I kind of felt like I owed it to her. Like, what we did was kind of fucked up. And then, like, the other friend is like, well, how do you think that's going to make us feel? And she's like, honestly, you guys can deal with it however you want to deal with it. Which, obviously we cut to the bucket of blood because some people are dealing with it in a completely different way. We get like a high school prom outfit montage where like the dudes are like trying to get tuxes. We got that one like lanky, goofy looking dude who's like, I don't like tuxes, man. Like, and they settle on a tuxedo t-shirt.
I only got $10.
He's like, you could rent a tux for $10.
It doesn't even have to have ruffles.
I don't like the ruffles. Guys, be honest. How do I look? Would you date me? Not with ruffles. he gets that tuxedo t-shirt because he wants to look formal, but also wants to let people know he parties.
Yeah.
Also, while we're intercutting, Carrie's, trying on different lipsticks. No, I don't like that one. Smudge it off. But then, the lady in the background who's clearly, working at the store is, watching this teenage girl, put on a shit. Are you going to buy something or?
Yeah.
The night of the prom comes. Carrie's mother is the opposite of supportive. And she goes upstairs and see that Carrie's got her dress on. Great, by the way, going to dressmaking gal, because that's a great dress. Says, I should have known it would be red. And she goes, Mama, it's pink. And she's like, here's what we're going to do. Let's just burn the dress and we'll pray for forgiveness and everything will be okay. I'll tell the boy when he gets here. I'll say you're sick. He doesn't even have to know. And she goes, Mama, I'm going. She's like, I can see your dirty pillows. And she's like, they're called breasts, Mama. Everyone has them.
Oh, yeah. I was dirty pillows. Dirty is that a you? Pillows. Okay, those are breasts.
She starts yelling, they're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. I can't hear it without hearing Adam Sandler. Carrie then, pushes her mother onto her bed with her mind as, Tommy pulls up. And she goes, he's here, Mama, and I'm going to the prom. She stands up again. She shoves her back down with her mind. Even grabs her head. And you can see the mom is fucking terrified.
Petrified, yeah.
And she's like, I'll be home early. Don't worry. And as she leaves, and we hear the mom whisper to herself, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So you're like, so this is clearly not going to end well for anybody.
No.
Honestly, why do you keep coming back home?
Yeah.
I know the school is like... School is like, oh, we can't do anything about this. But it's also but at the same time, there's some abuse going on here, guys. A very nervous Carrie, as they pull up to the prom, kind of wants to take a beat in the car with Tommy. He assures her that everything's going to be fine. And then she finally cracks that little smile and you kind of feel it in your heart. You're like, okay, I just want her to be happy at this point. She goes into the prom. We get everybody's staring, stopping dancing and pointing, oh my god, Carrie's here with Tommy. finally another girl comes up and says, hey, Carrie, it's really nice to, you know, it's really cool you came out. I love your dress. Where did you get it? And she goes, oh, I actually made it. And she goes, that's fucking rad. Why don't you come sit with us? Like, oh, so clearly there are people in the school that aren't miserable people.
But then that same chick is literally the second person to laugh at her. Like,
yeah. This,
yeah. I was like, man, that's got to hurt.
Yeah.
You think people are, you know, warming up to you, and then just that same person.
Fucking high school, man.
Yep. Dude. Yeah. For this whole part, I'm just like.
It's actually, cringe. All the lead up. It's cringe because it's like true. Like, that shit happens in high school. Like,
well, I went to a very, very small school. I know I've brought it up multiple times on this pod, where it's just like everybody knew everybody. It wasn't like you could just like blend into the background in like a giant school. Like, I had 18 kids in my graduating class.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you.
And so if there was a wink link in the chain, it was that everybody was just like, no, don't dog me, dog that person, you know, like that kind of thing. Like, it's
almost like, I mean, go ahead, Michael.
It's almost like that small of a group, it's like almost more prone in a way to like hyper focus on, you said,
and
that we
everybody can, knows everything about everything you've done,
which it makes it even worse.
But this was the point that I was going to make, though. It's like, so how is it that Sue and Tommy don't know that this shit is going to happen, right? Their friendship circle seems so small that, like, Sue should know that they're gonna be doing something, right?
Well, Chris, and then she acts all kind like of, she was kind of keeping savior. It close to the chest. I mean, she was like, obviously, when she's talking to PJ Soul, she was like, I'll be at the prom. You'll see. I got something cooking.
Yeah.
And you know, she's like, oh, tell me what's going on, what's going on, what's going on. Like, I mean, they obviously have, like, they're what? There's like six people in that group. Obviously, all the girls hate Carrie, too, but it was just more like a. I mean, they kept a secret, I guess. That's pretty good, but.
Yeah.
True. But, impressive for what? I mean, a 70s school was probably pretty small.
The prom also didn't look that big.
Yeah.
But also, like, as somebody who didn't go to school dances, like, I'm assuming if the school is big, was it, like, a senior prom, like, strictly only for seniors? Or is it your senior year, it's prom?
That's the way it was at my school, anyways.
Which one?
Sorry.
Only seniors went to the prom? Or?
No, there was like, you went, you know, it was your senior prom when you were a senior, and you went to prom. With the other people.
Gotcha. No. Did you go to prom, Brandon?
The show.
Foot show? All 4 years?
I think I went 3 years, to be honest. No. I don't think I went my freshman year.
I was going to say, but the year I didn't go, which should surprise you. No. the gym teacher comes over, comforts her, tells her she looks nice. You know, Tommy does the whole thing like, hey, you're hugging my gal. Here's the thing that, like, I'm wondering about. What is the end game if nothing bad happens? Like, let's just pretend Chris didn't go to prom. There was no blood. He's dating Sue. Like, does he then just say, hey, Carrie, I had a great time, but I'm still with Sue? Because, like, when they're dancing and he lays that kiss on her, I'm like, what is happening? Who is going to get they're heartbroken the next day? Is it going to be Sue? Is it going to be Carrie? Like, obviously, you know, he opens up. They go on the dance floor. You know, we get that insanely dizzying scene where the camera's going around them. I read that, like, they had them on a pedestal that spun counterclockwise while the camera spun clockwise. So it makes them look like they're spinning insanely fast?
No, I'm pretty sure that they just had a toddler on a bike and he rode around in circles with a camera, because that's what it felt like to me. I was like getting dizzy, sick. I was like, steady cam.
You know, she's like, why am I here? And he goes, because I asked you. And she goes, yeah, but why'd you ask me? Because, like, you know, and then he says, you've liked my poem and I like that. And I like you and I like that we're here, kind of thing. But what is the end game? I honestly will never know.
That's a good question.
I think the end game was just to make up for what, you know, Sue had done, but also just try to show her a good time, at least a little bit.
I understand that, where, like, clearly Tommy is just like, hey, I know you have to go home early, but there is a thing after prom. If you wanted to stop by for a few minutes, hey, we can do that. If not, hey, I'm no pressure. You know, she's like, I've never been. I'd love to go. And he goes, well, then I'd love to take you kind of thing. It's not until he kisses her. He kisses her twice.
Yeah.
Once when they're dancing and the second time after they're made king and queen.
Yeah.
If there's no kiss, clearly it's just like, hey, Sue feels bad. I'm actually a good guy. And I'm doing this for my girlfriend, but also during this experience, whether it's the mentality the entire time, because obviously he seems very hesitant early, but whether it's the entire time or if like something clicks in him where he's just like, you know, I actually am enjoying my time with you.
And
it's great when you get to know somebody, you know.
And that's how I took it, because it was like a complete character moral change for me. Like I was like, oh, he actually is a nice guy. Like he's just trying to be nice and show her like you can have fun. This is kind of what you're missing out on, like emotion or you know, affection.
Yeah. When you throw that, I'm gonna say it one last time. When you throw that kiss in there, suddenly it becomes like a switch. Now it doesn't feel platonic. We already have this girl who's very closed off, shut off. She's, I'm going to go ahead and say it, probably her very first kiss she's ever had.
For sure.
You know, like, that's got to do something. Like, so again, the next day, who am I breaking up with? But it doesn't end that way anyway, so it doesn't. It's one of those things where it's like, this is what's going through my head, even though it clearly doesn't matter.
That's an interesting way to look at it, though. I didn't even think about it, because really, you're kind of just enamored with the fact that, like, oh, that she just got asked to prom so they could, you know, humiliate her. But I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It's time to vote for prom king and queen. And Carrie and Tommy are on the ballot. She's like, why am I on the ballot? And he goes, hey, it'll be fun. It's our senior year. Why the hell not? You know, he's like, you know. And she was like, oh, I don't know. Who should we vote for? And he's like, let's vote for ourselves. And she goes, no, we can't do that. It's not. And he goes, the devil with false modesty. And she's like, yeah, the devil with him. And I was like, oh, if you only knew.
Yeah.
You know, they vote for themselves. We see that Chris has her cronies, like, cook the books. They have fake ballots that have Tommy and Carrie winning the whole thing. I like how, like, to get rid of the real ballots, they just put them on the ground and then kick them under a table.
Multiple kicks.
Like, that's not going to just scatter everywhere, you know?
Chris and John Travolta are hiding under the stage while holding a rope, and you know, we get that very the camera's literally just following the rope through this intricate pulley system throughout the entire gym, up the scaffolding, across all the way to the bucket,
and they do it twice.
Yeah.
Which is great. The suspense.
It's funny because, like, as an audience, we're like, yeah, we know where that rope is connected to. But, like, they show it the first time, and then obviously when Sue clocks it, they do it again.
But it's great from her perspective, too, because it's like, it's exactly what you would do, too. You would, like,
and she's holding on to the rope, too, yeah.
You're like, shit.
Tommy and Carrie win, and as they walk to the stage, it's clear that this is, like, the greatest day of her life. Everyone is applauding. You know, it's everything's played in slow motion. Like I mentioned before, we get, like, beautiful music playing. It's almost like dreamlike. Like, you kind of get, like, that Vaseline over the lens, kind of, like, foggy. There, you know, another scene at the end of the movie kind of has the same kind of, like, fog to the screen. Like, you know, she's just so happy, you know. Everyone's cheering, applauding. She's climbing up the stage. You know, we see, like, Chris and John Travolta are, like, peeking out from the stage. John Travolta, like, looks up her dress and, like, does, like, a goofy smile.
His character, honest to God, his character reminds me exactly of one of my buddies from high school. Like, to the T, dude. To the looks and everything. Like, and he was just a football player meathead. It's funny.
Muscle jock, yeah. Our beautiful music is cutting to dramatic music as we keep seeing the bucket of blood. That's, and then we get the aerial view, but we see that she's standing directly below it. Cut back, beautiful music. Cut back, you know, horror drama music. We get you know, Sue is at the prom. She's spying on him because she just wants to see that everyone's having a good time. She's, like, touching the rope. She's holding the rope. Chris goes to give it a tug. She feels the rope is moving. Looks up and, like we said, kind of traces it back to the bucket. She's peeking out over, and that's when the gym teacher kind of clocks that Sue is there and goes, "You said you weren't going to be here. You can't be here because you don't have a date. I didn't realize that proms were that strict, too. I thought you just bought your tickets and then you went to prom. But this one is very strict. If you don't have a date, you're not allowed to come." Sees that Sue is, like, looking under the stage, goes and grabs her because she thinks she's up to something. Right as Sue sees that Chris and John Travolta are about to yank on this rope, the teacher pulls her back, kicks her out of the prom, says, "You aren't allowed to be here. Stay the fuck out of here." Slams the door behind her. Right as Chris yanks on that rope and the bucket dumps, and we just get that honestly, like, the whole, the, like, the next few minutes, not minutes, but, like, 30 seconds are, like, played, like, dead silent, except for, like, the splashing of the blood on her. And, like, so it's hitting her. She's freaking out. What's going on? Tommy's, like, you can read his lips. What the fuck was, is this about? Like, what the fuck? We look out into the crowd. Again, it's deadly silent. All you just hear is, like, gross dripping noises, you know, as, and then we see, like, PJ Soul starts to laugh, to which the girl next to her starts laughing. Then we cut back to Tommy, and then the bucket comes down, not hits him on the head, knocks him out, maybe kills him. Don't know. He's certainly dead by the end of the movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's knocked out cold, and that place is literally a tomb. Lit.
Yeah. Carrie, you know, we can hear her mother's words running through her head. "They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you." While we look out and everyone's laughing, we get the principal laughing too. And we hear, "Get you home nice and safe, Cassie. Cassie. Cassie." She sees the teacher there. And then she just goes, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
This is why we're doing this movie in October. It is now Horrorville. The camera lens shifts to all red. I think that's a way of getting around, like, what's actually happening. Like, if it's filmed red, it just seems more violent and crazy.
Yes.
The cronies are trying to leave, only for Carrie to slam the doors shut, lock the doors. People are, like, freaking out, screaming, only for, like, the fire hose to come alive.
Lock the doors and turn on the fire hose.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking starts spraying everybody. PJ Souls got hit in the face with that water, by the way. In real life, burst her eardrum.
Oh.
She couldn't hear out of that ear for 6 months. So she's not knocked unconscious, but she's really laying there in agony in real life as she's getting sprayed in the face. We see people, like, trying to jump on the hose, trying to, you know, make it stop, only for it to, like, spray the electrical lights behind them. The English teacher and the principal are, like, fighting over the microphone, trying to get everyone to calm down, only for the host to spray the mic and they like, very cartoon, electrocutes themselves to death. A fire breaks out. People are getting lit on fire. People are obviously trying to get out. Nothing's happened. Then we just scan back to Carrie, who's, like, in that classic pose, like, arms kind of by her side, but hands up and out. You know, just covered in blood as, like, a fire breaks out behind her and, like, very cinematically, like, sweeps around her as she just, like, slowly walks through the gym while everyone's panicking. The doors open for her. She exits the school and the doors slam behind her as, like, fire bursts out the windows and we see, like, the whole school. We just hear screams and, like, fire burning. Chris and John Travolta were watching the whole thing from the window, because they were able to sneak out of the gym before all hell broke loose. And then immediately, like, get in the car and try to run her down.
Yeah.
Only for Carrie to, like, turn around and, like, do, like, a crazy pose, causing the car to flip over and immediately explode in the flames. And we just see, like, the Chris dummy in the car, like, on fire. It's, like, an insane amount of fire in that car.
Epic car flip, too.
You know, we get That's she's going home, and you're just like, Harry, don't go home.
Don't. That's the last place to go.
Yeah, get out of town, you know?
You want to know who's not going to say, hey, I know I'm definitely not going to say I told you so.
Like, right.
It's probably not going to be your mom.
Yeah. Go to a McDonald's, play in the Playland or something. I don't know. Blow off some steam.
Get a cheeseburger. It helps.
Still covered in blood.
I think Diet Coke just came out, you know?
I had read that it took 2 weeks to film that prom scene, that sequence. And then while she was covered in blood, that entire, like, post scene where she's walking home, it took 3 days to film, like, a bunch of those shots. And Sissy Spacek stayed in those blood-covered clothes for 3 straight days and even slept in them.
Jeez.
She was, like, feeling the character. Mm. I guess she told her co-stars that she was, like, to try to get into character, she was going to stay away from them.
Yeah, she isolated herself the whole time recording.
I guess, filming. Like, the second day on filming, she, like, during, like, a lunch break, she went up to, like, the girls and said, just want to let you know, this is what I'm doing. Don't take it personal. I'm just trying to get into my character. When this movie's done, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a blast. But as of right now, like, don't take it personal, but I'm kind of isolating myself. And they were like, well, honestly, we kind of appreciate that. Instead of you just isolating yourself and making, you know, it's like, no,
for
cool.
no
and
reason.
I read, like, the rap party. They all, like, went fucking nuts. Like, I'm sure they probably fucking did. I'm sure Brian De Palma didn't have a little coke vial at all. Steven Spielberg
Didn't he marry Chris, like, later in life?
Maybe. I know that Steven Spielberg married Sue in real life. He came to set, I guess, and would ask all the girls out. Sue was the only one who said yes, and they ended up getting married for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, Nancy Allen was married to Brian De Palma in 79 to 83.
Oh, so 3 years after this, yeah. So.
I thought it was shortly after.
Carrie goes home to her mother, when I wrote, I'm sure she'll be totally caring. no pun intended, I guess. The house is full of lit candles, definitely not creepy or spooky at all. As Carrie makes her way upstairs to go to the bathroom, you know, she turns a light on as she goes into the bathroom, and then we see that her mother is, like, creepily standing behind the door. A bath is an interesting choice.
Very.
When not a shower, because she's just bathing in all that blood, obviously washing herself off, but it's just... The image of her, like, cupping the bloody water...
I had, like, the exact same thoughts, too. I was like,
washing more blood off with more blood.
As she's, you know, she dries herself off, gets dressed, she leaves the bathroom, then kind of calls down to her mother from downstairs, only for her mother to appear from behind the door. She turns around, you know, she breaks down crying, Mama, please hold me, can you hold me? And that's when her mother says, I should have killed myself the moment I let him put it in me. Mentions that because she had premarital sex, that she has been cursed with the devil, i.e., I had premarital sex, quasi-raped, like she mentions, but also that she loved it when it happened.
She loved the smell of whiskey on his breath.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, they mentioned that, yeah.
He was very drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that the fact that not only did they have premarital sex, but she enjoyed it, that God has cursed her. And the devil has come home is the line she uses. And I'm like, ooh, that's a pretty good line.
Ooh, creepy.
She tells Carrie that they need to pray, you know, and she says, okay, Mama, okay. Like, they get down, they start praying, and that's when you see her mom, like, pulls out that butcher knife from behind her and stabs her right in the back. Carrie, shocked, falls backwards, rolls down the stairs to downstairs, and we see the mom has now got, like, the...
Yeah.
Like, the... terrifying face as she's coming at her with the knife. Carrie, using her powers, just starts flinging every single knife they have in the kitchen at her, you know, sticking her hands into the door frames, also the knives going into her chest and stomach, and then we kind of zoom out and we see that it's like the same stigmata pose of the Saint Sebastian. I'm like, oh yeah, there you go. you know, Carrie screams at what she's done. She pulls the knife out of her mother's hand and she kind of collapses onto her. And then, like, while she's screaming, she can hear the house creaking and breaking, the ceilings breaking down. And she makes the decision to just bring the house down on top of her, killing herself. for what she has done. You know, we get that great scene of, like, the outside of the house. Like, the house just looks like it, like, flumps down as the inside beams are coming down, collapsing on top of her, and we see that she dies.
At first, I thought maybe she left the bathtub on.
And that was going
to... It was coming through the floor.
Very Final Destination 4 of you.
Yeah.
We end the film with Sue, who is in bed sleeping. Her mother, by the way, her real mother, that is her real life mother, another actress, is on the phone just being like, no, you know, she's doing better. You know, she's been sleeping a lot, but the doctor says that's okay. You know, all the stress that she went through. I didn't let her go to any of the funerals, you know, just because all the teens in this town are apparently dead. Honestly, we just need to get out. We just need to leave town and get out of here. And then we get like a very Nightmare on Elm Street-y scene where we see Sue like walking with flowers in a dress, and she goes to the plot of land that once had Carrie's home.
Hold up, on that walk, did you guys notice in the background that there's a car driving backwards?
No,
I did not.
I screen recorded it, and I meant to send it to you guys before we talked about it, but I'll send it to you after. It's pretty funny.
Is there a specific reason? Did you find any? You
just, no idea. I just had like caught it, and I rewound it. I was like, is that car going backwards? And sure as shit.
Brian De Palma's like, Mark, you're in the shot. You're in the shot.
Reverse.
We see her walk up to the plot of land that once held Carrie's home. You know, it's like the nice, pretty green grass, but then just obviously like a bunch of dirt where the house once stood, with a sign propped right in the middle of it that says for sale. But then graffitied over it, it says, you know, Carrie White burns in hell. She places the flowers at the sign like it's a tombstone, only for the hand, a bloody hand of Carrie, to pop out of the ground and grab her arm. And she screams so violently, we cut to her in the bed, screaming. It was all a dream. She's freaking out. I guess in real life, her real life mother said she had never seen her freak out so much before, that she called her Amy because she was trying to calm her down. But the music is so loud, you can't hear her say that. But, like, that is the take in the film.
Wow.
Used her real name?
Yeah. Because, again, the mother had never seen her child, like, that worked up. Calms her down, tries to calm her down, and she's screaming. Cut to black. The end.
Nice.
It's a beauty film. Honestly, it's weird to say I had a blast watching this, but like, I hadn't seen it in so long, and like I said at the top, those terrible remakes live so much in my head, not because I want them to, but like, when I think of Carrie, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember how they just keep making bad remakes of this. So like, watching like the OG and just being like, man, they really had something here.
Yeah.
There's not very many Stephen King adaptions that are good.
No.
So honestly, it kind of sticks out when they are good.
Yeah, but I would agree with that.
But
yeah, it was good, especially for me, never having seen it or not knowing anything about it. It was a good movie.
How did this movie completely miss you, by the way?
Well, I'm not really a big horror genre, slasher genre fan. They're fine. Like, I can watch them, but they don't intrigue me that much. So I don't go actively seeking them out. And then two, you know, growing up in a pretty conservative religious household, shit like this, we weren't allowed to watch. So I guess I just a late bloomer getting to it, but.
Had you seen this before, Michael?
I sure have.
Yeah. Was to say, because you fucking love horror movies, don't you?
Like, I wouldn't use it as strongly as that, but I do like them. Sorry. Yeah.
You fucking like? No.
I fucking like them. Yeah. Yeah, I think they are definitely one of the more easy watches, and they kind of like have different ways of grabbing you in. Like, but I don't like the ones that are just super, like the Saw stuff. Like, my God. You know,
not a big terrifier guy.
No, and it's just like, it doesn't need to be that much blood. We don't want to be friggin', you know, having to, like, get keys out of people's necks to make sure my jaw doesn't split open. It's like, come on, but...
Honestly, Michael, if they weren't terrible people before that, they wouldn't be in that situation.
No, I get that part. Yeah, like, you know, but an eye for an eye makes the world war blind. So it's like, you know, but it is fiction, so, but, or is it?
Well said.
Dun-dun-dun. 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 Dun-dun-dun.
Around to the, yeah, I guess the original question. I do like horror movies, but I'm not just like...
You know. Honestly, to me, I was...
I didn't expect that. I just thought the visual...
too bad that was just a great visual and no audio, because that was great.
The baby arm.
Grabbing an apple.
Yep.
I wasn't allowed to watch, I mean, if you can believe it, I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of horror movies growing up. The main reason is not because they're violent or because there was language, but because a lot of the 70s, 80s, into the 90s horror movies had a lot of nudity in them.
Yeah.
So this time of year, it would be like, we're going to talk about the movie we're doing next week. Happened to be a movie that we were at Premiere Video, RIP, and I wanted to watch some horror movies, some like classic horror movies, because honestly, like my horror knowledge was just usually like I'd watch the black and white TCM, Dracula, Werewolf, Frankenstein, the month. Yeah. So like I'd seen those growing up because those are
pretty clean. Are fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Handing my dad this movie and he flips the box over because he's looking for the letter N. Does it have nudity in it? And this movie did not. So, I kind of latched on. That's, I think, honestly, it's kind of why I chose it. So, that became, like, the slasher movie for me. It was just like, I can watch this. There's no nudity in it. But once I was out on my own, I went, like, down an insane slasher movie deep dive. And honestly, I really do love, like, those, like, 80s into early 90s slash, they're always like 90 minutes long, in, out. The tropes are tropes for a reason. Sometimes you just want a 90 minute hit of that, and then you just go on, live the rest of your life. Like, horror movie is not something that I'm just like, I fucking love it, bro. But I'll tell you what, the second October hit, I told Cassie, what horror movies are we watching? So, I don't know. We'll obviously get into it in the next couple weeks. Do we want to talk about what we are doing next week?
Since sure.
Teed
it up nice. Let's do it.
The movie, with no nudity in it, is the 1980s classic Nightmare on Elm Street.
Never seen it.
What?
It's going to be a recurring theme here.
Have you seen any of the Nightmare movies?
Nope.
Damn, I just watched every single one.
What's that other one?
Jason?
That guy.
What about Freddy versus Jason?
Nope. I don't know shit about these guys.
Man, I don't know shit about fuck.
Yeah, like I said, the horror genre or slasher genre, whatever you want, wasn't teed up for me.
This is a tried and true slasher film, this one. This isn't a, like... Freddy Krueger, what a guy. Movies, honestly, like, there's, what, 7 movies plus Freddy vs. Jason and a very terrible remake.
Jesus.
Like, we're in it, man. I love it. Well, that's all we have. What do you say, we'll be back next time with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Can't wait.
We go ahead and cut print check the gate.
See you guys.
See you.